I believe that with all of my heart. God is about to do something in this house. And I encourage you to get ready for that. So really listen to what's in my heart today. And in a moment, I'm going to read that verse there. But the title of my message today is a simple title, but I believe it's really what God is saying to you today. And the title of my message is Going Over, Not Going Under. I want to speak that right into your life today. I believe that God is saying to you by His Holy Spirit, you are not going to go under, you're going to go over. God is going to take you over where He wants you to be. I want to say it again and say it right from my heart. You are not going to go under in your finances or your relationships or in your workplace or whatever. God wants you to go over. He wants you to be someone who sees the breakthrough. And the text that I'm about to read today is the record of Jesus calming the storm. And I think all of us would realize that life has storms. Life has seasons. There are times when we are up and there are times when we are down. There are times when we are in summer and there's times when we are in winter. There are times when we're in smooth and there are times where it is turbulent. And sometimes when we're going through a storm, sometimes when we're going through a difficult season, we ask ourselves, am I ever going to get through? Will this season ever change? Will I survive this? And in the middle of the storm, sometimes all we can see is despair. All we can see are the negative things that are happening, and we lose sight of our destination and the deliverer who can bring us through. But what we're going to discover today is that the real problem is not the storm. The real problem is what the storm uncovers inside of us. And sometimes the storms unveil a negative mindset that we may have. Or sometimes the storm can reveal that we really do lack faith or trust in God. And the biggest threat to our survival is not the storm that we are enduring at the moment. The biggest threat to our survival is what's going on the inside. And that's what this whole message is about. So I want to unpack this story and unpack this message to see what the Lord may be saying to us about why we can know with confidence today that we are going to go over and we are not going under. That in the year 2013, that God is repositioning this church so that you will go over, you will break through, you will see the things that you've longed for, and you will not go under in Jesus' name. How do we know that we're going to go over and that we are not going under? So allow me to read this text to you. I'll put it in context and then we'll begin to unpack it to see some practical truths. Mark 4, reading from verse number 35, says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were other boats with him also. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' And they were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Why don't we take a moment to pray? Our Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for this church. I thank you that, Lord, man did not give birth to Harvest House International. You did. And this church exists by your divine plan, and that, Lord, you want to do something miraculous in and through this place that would affect Brisbane and the nations of the world. I believe that, Lord. Father, today in your presence, I honor Lord Pastor Sabanga. Lord, and I pray that you would just bless him today, and may he be encouraged and strengthened in his faith. I thank you, Lord, for the manifest sense of your presence in this church. It's wonderful, Lord. You are here and we welcome you. And I pray that, Lord, you would enable me to say the things that are in your heart. And I pray that you would give us ears that would hear, Lord, the things that you are saying. Father, I ask you for this in the name of Jesus and for your glory. Amen. Let me just briefly just put this story into its biblical setting. Jesus had been teaching his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. And that day when evening had come, Jesus said, we're going to go to the other side. So Jesus had just finished this long, grueling day of teaching people about the kingdom of God. And on top of actually addressing the crowds, Jesus then had to take time to explain to his disciples what his parables meant. And he must have been physically, emotionally, and mentally exhausted. But then we read, and when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go to the other side of the lake. And that is where we find the first principle for why we know today that we're not going to go under, but that we are going to go over. Number one is this, because Jesus knows where he's taking us. And we can say with confidence today, I am not going to go under, I am going over. Why? Because Jesus knows where he is taking us. And we read that in the verse there where Jesus said, let us go to the other side. Jesus knew what he had in mind for them. Jesus knew that the storm was already brewing. Jesus knew that there was something he wanted to teach them. Jesus knew that he wanted to take them on a journey to do something in them that he could do through no other means by allowing them to go through that storm. So Jesus said, oh, come on, guys, let's go to the other side. And I want to encourage you today, don't just listen to my words, but hear what the Spirit is saying to Harvest House this morning. Oh, come on, church. It is time to go to the other side. You have been at one level of faithfulness. You've been at one level of surrender. You've been at one level of attendance. You've been at one level of worship. You've been at one level of giving. You've been at one level of intimacy. You've been at one level of praise. And now the Lord Jesus is speaking to you and he's saying to you, oh, come on, church. It's time to go to the other side. And so you can know, no matter what comes this year, no matter what you experience this year, no matter what turbulence comes, you can say with confidence today, we're going to go over and we're not going under because Jesus knows where he's taking us. And he has said, it is time to go to the other side. Because following Jesus is a journey, a continuous journey. There is no parking in the kingdom of God. We are on a journey of growth and maturity and challenge. Because if we are not growing, we have already become stagnant. If we are not following Jesus, we have already fallen behind. If we are not becoming increasingly fruitful, we are already filled with a sense of unfulfillment inside of our life. But Jesus would encourage us, oh, come on, it is time to go to the other side. We will not go under, we will go over, because Jesus, whom we are following, knows where he's taking us. Number two, how can we know that we're not going to go under, but that we will go over? Number two, because Jesus is with us on the journey. Jesus is with us on the journey. Notice verse number 35 there. Jesus said, let us go to the other side. Let us go to the other side. Jesus didn't say, okay, boys, you can get in the boat, away you go, you know the way, you are fishermen, you've been on this lake year after year, you go over there and I'll meet you over there. No, Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. Come on, let's go. I am with you on the journey. And if Jesus is asking you to do something you've never done before, if Jesus is asking you to go somewhere that you have never been before, I want to say, friends, with absolute confidence today, he is with you. If you're encountering things in your life that you've never encountered before, maybe you've got a new job or a new promotion or a new challenge, I want to say, friends, today, he is with you. If you're in the middle of the storm and you don't understand what's going on, and if you feel buffeted by all types of emotions, you need to know today, friends, he is with you. You are not going to go under. You will go over because Jesus is with you on the journey. We do not journey in this life alone. We do not face what we face alone. We do not endure what we endure alone. He is with us. As it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5, the Lord says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And when Jesus tells you to go somewhere, when Jesus tells you to do something, He is with you. Some time ago, I read a very powerful story. It was an anthropologist who was studying an Indian tribe on the northeastern coast of the United States of America, up near the Canadian border. And he had been watching them for some years, and he noticed that they had a ceremony. That when a young man of 13 years of age wanted to become a brave, he had to be initiated. Up to this point, the boy had been taught how to hunt, he'd been taught how to fish, he'd been taught how to build, he'd been taught how to light fires, but to really prove that he was a brave, he had to be initiated. So what they would do is they would take this young man kilometers and kilometers away from his village to places he had never been before. And they would take him right into the middle of the forest, and they would leave him there. And all of the other braves would leave this young man there all by himself all night. And those men would go back to the village. But this young man had to prove that he was strong, so he had to stay out there in the forest all by himself. And you can imagine what it was like for this young man. Every time he would have heard a twig snap, he would have thought it was a grizzly bear that was coming to kill him. Every time he would have heard some rustling in the bushes, he would have thought it was one of those puma lions that is in that part of the United States. But to prove that he was strong, he had to stay there all by himself all night. But in the morning, when the sun began to rise and the first rays of the dawn began to pierce through the canopy of the trees, that young man would realize that he'd been left on a pathway, the pathway that would take him all the way back to the village. And as the sun got higher and higher, he would become aware that somebody else was there. His father had been watching over him all night, bow and arrow ready, watching over him all night. He did not know his father was there. He felt alone. He felt vulnerable. He felt afraid. He felt he was all by himself. But there was a father watching over him. And in the same way, friends, sometimes in our lives and our circumstances and our storms, we can feel so alone. We can feel so vulnerable. We can feel so fearful. We can feel so conflicted inside of our hearts. We feel all alone. And what we need to remember today, friends, is this. There is a God who is watching over you, and the Bible says He never sleeps and He never slumbers. He is with you. He's underneath you. He is over you. He is around you. He is in you. He is for you. And this great God will never leave you alone. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. You can stand in the middle of your circumstances today and you can say, "I am not going to go under. I am going over." Why? Because Jesus is with us on the journey. We are never alone at all. Jesus is with us on the journey. So in Luke's account of this story, it tells us, so they got into the boat and set out, and as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. So the disciples get into the boat, and as they begin to journey across that relatively small lake, Jesus grabs a cushion because it's been a very long day, found a comfortable place in the stern of the boat, and fell asleep. The day had taken its toll. He fell asleep. And that is where the problems began. For the Bible says, verse number 37 of our text, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And in Luke's account, it says, they were in great danger. Now, to really understand this, we just need to have a little look at the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is one of the most treacherous lakes in the world. It is situated 230 meters below sea level. At its lowest point, between the hills of Galilee and the mountains of Gilead, Consequently, it is subject to quick and violent storms. Southeasterly winds come blowing across that lake, and within 5 minutes, that storm can be so ferocious that unless you get off the water really quickly, you can be thrown and tossed all over the place. And these were fishermen, and yet the Bible says they were terrified because their boat was being swamped. But that leads us to our third point today, why we know that we are going to go over and we are not going under. Number three is this, because Jesus is not afraid of anything. Jesus is not afraid of anything. And while the storm raged, and while the boat rocked violently, while the waves were buffeting the boat and menacing to swamp it, astonishingly, verse number 38 says that Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Jesus was asleep. And while torturous emotions and thoughts were unnerving the disciples, Jesus is fast asleep in the stern on a cushion. No one can relax or sleep when they're afraid. But Jesus knew that his Father held the seas in his hands. Jesus knew that his faith and trust in his Father would keep the boat afloat. Wrapped in the arms of faith, Jesus slept. In a natural sense, he was sleeping on a cushion, but spiritually, he was sleeping in the perfect peace that comes from perfect trust. Let the storm rage. He wasn't going to go under. He was going over because he was afraid of nothing. What a wonderful picture. Every muscle in his body was relaxed. He wasn't having bad dreams or nightmares. He wasn't imagining the worst possible thing that could go wrong. The waves did not wake him. The tossing did not startle him. The wind did not disturb him. He was sleeping the sleep of a person who was in the protective hands of God Almighty. He was sleeping the sleep of a person who practices faith in God. He was sleeping the sleep of a person who feared nothing. Today we just need to be reminded, God fears nothing. God is not afraid of anything. Fear is not from God. It is a human emotion. But our great God is fearless and fearsome and is to be feared. And by the indwelling of his Spirit, he can give us a capacity to look at fear eye to eye and to overcome in Jesus' name by the indwelling of his presence. Remembering that fear is an enemy of faith. Fear reasons and worries and expects the worst, whereas faith believes and trusts and expects God's best. Fear sees all that could go wrong, whereas faith sees a God who can do no wrong. Fear frets at what might be, whereas faith anticipates what will be. Fear feeds off our vulnerabilities, whereas faith is fueled by the possibilities. Fear questions whether God is concerned or even cares, whereas faith affirms that God loves us and he will never let us down. And so with no fear in his life whatsoever, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. How do we know that we're not going to go under? How do we know that we will go over? Because the Jesus who we're following and the Jesus who lives inside of our life and the Jesus who is here today fears nothing whatsoever. But this was not true of the disciples. They were seized with crippling, unbridled fear. As the storm increased, their fear increased. And they were soon overtaken by panic, and panic led to wild, irrational imagination. They forgot that Jesus was there. They forgot what Jesus had said, and they believed that nobody, not even God himself, cared if they went under or went over. And fear is a really bad state that brings people into captivity and confusion and frustration and conflict and tension. The disciples had forgotten that Jesus had given his word. Jesus did not say, oh, let's go on the lake because we're going under. Jesus said, we are going to go over. They forgot that Jesus was in their boat. And hear this, friends, because sometimes our fear deafens us to what God has said in the past. It deafens us to what God has said in His Word. And our fear makes us forget about all the great things that God has done. And our fear causes us to forget about the reality of who our great God is. And the consequence is this subtle, corrosive thing called doubt. We begin to doubt whether God really loves us or God really cares. We start to doubt God's power to preserve and protect us. We begin to doubt God's love and mercy and concern. We begin to doubt God's reign over the elements and circumstances. We begin to doubt whether God can intervene in our lives. We begin to doubt God's incomparable power to transform a seeming disaster into something for our good. And when you forget about the words of Jesus, and when you forget that Jesus is there, what happens is fear begins to rise up in our hearts. They believed that they were all alone in that sea. They didn't believe they were going to go over. They believed they were going under. They believed they had no power to escape the storm. They believed that not even God cared about their predicament. And what a contrast. In the same storm, Jesus facing the same storm, and while He slept, they wailed. While He relaxed, they were tense. While He lay down, they were in horror. He trusted His Father, they forgot their Savior. He was going to go over, they thought they were going under. And suddenly they all seemed to come to their senses and they remembered that Jesus was there. And in verse number 38 it says, the disciples woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Or in Luke's account, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And in that tone, there's a tone there of accusation, of unbelief and fear. These guys were not in a good way at all. They were in a pretty bad way on the inside of their life. That leads us to point number 4. How do we know today that we're going to go over and not go under? How do we know today that no matter what we're going through, that we will prevail? Number 4 is this: because Jesus has the power to still any storm. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're facing, no matter what your mind is saying, no matter what the devil is saying, we can say today, I am going to go over and I'm not going under, because Jesus has the power to still any storm. Now, I want you to use your imagination here. Picture Jesus being woken by these smelly, waterlogged, fear-stricken fishermen accusing Him, "Don't you care if we drown?" Can you imagine what it was like for Jesus being woken out of a sleep? I don't know about you, but when I'm woken up in the night, I am grumpy. I am grumpy. Most times I'm very measured in my words, always very careful what I say. You get me in the middle of the night, you wake me up, I'll tell you what I really think at that point. And you can imagine what it was like for Jesus being woken up and all these guys gathered around Him. "Don't you care if we drown?" Accusing Him, full of unbelief. But I want you to picture Jesus as He rises and He surveys the terrorized faces of His men looking for some faith. Picture Jesus with the wind blowing His hair and His garments and the spray of the waves soaking Him, the sea raging and pitching and buffeting the boat, the long fingers of the storm closing in around Him. But Jesus does not flinch. He is not afraid. He is not intimidated. He is not anxious. The Bible says that Jesus got up. He got up and He looked and then He spoke. And when Jesus spoke, His words were calm and resonant and authoritative. This is the very voice that spoke the universe into existence. The one who spoke, and everything that we see in this world came about by the word of His power. And the Bible says He stood up, He got up, and He rebuked the wind. And He said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." With the same authority that silenced and drove out demons, Jesus rebuked and silenced the wind. And He commanded the waves, "You be muzzled, you be quiet, you be still." And immediately the Bible says when Jesus spoke, the wind died down and it became completely calm. The sea suddenly went to sleep. The waves became smooth and they were calm. I want to say, friends, you are going to go over. You are not going under. In your family, in this church, in your workplace. Why? Because Jesus has the power this morning, in this place, right now, to still any storm that we may be going through. We know with confidence today, God can do anything, that nothing is impossible with our great God. Because the calming of the storm shows God's ability to do anything for His people. Even the forces of nature are subject to the will and the word of God Almighty. And we see this in the Bible when Jesus opened the Red Sea and He led His people through dried out ground to deliver them from the Egyptians and slavery. And then we read further and further. God brought walls down. He fed His people in the desert. He made the sun stand still. He sent destructive hail to destroy an enemy. He brought water out of a rock. And the list could go on and on and on. A God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think or desire. Now we probably won't ever need a miracle like that. But we need to remind ourselves and be encouraged. That is the God that we serve. He is a miracle-working God. He can still any storm that we may be going through. And you need to rise up in your heart today. And I pray that these words would just resonate within you throughout this whole year. You are not going to go under. Your marriage is not going to go under. Your workplace is not going to go under. This church is not going to go under. You will go over. And I'm telling you why. Because Jesus has the power to still any storm that you may be going through in your life. Number five. And this is where it's going to get personal. Number five is this. How do you know that you're going to go over and not go under? Number five. Because Jesus is working on the weak areas of your life. You can say amen or you can say ouch. That Jesus is working on the weak areas of your life. So having dealt with the external problem, Jesus had stilled the storm. Jesus had to deal with the greater problem. And the greater problem wasn't the storm, wasn't the winds, wasn't the waves. The greater problem was what was on the inside of His disciples. They had asked a question. They had called out to Him, "Don't you care if we drown? Don't you care what I'm going through? Don't you care that there's a financial struggle? Don't you care that my child is sick?" And that is the wrong question. And we're about to see that is not the right question. Jesus, in this story, spoke twice. The first time, He spoke to the winds and the waves. The second time Jesus spoke, He spoke to His disciples. So the first time He dealt with the external problem, but the second time He spoke, He dealt with the internal problem. Because as I said at the start of the message, the problem is not the storm that you're going through at all. Your circumstance is not the problem at all. The real problem is what's going on the inside. And when everything had calmed down, Jesus spoke to His disciples and He asked them two questions. Two questions I want to ask you. Two questions that resonate right across the centuries to our life. I want to ask you today, why are you so afraid? Why do you still have no faith? See, they asked the question, "Oh God, don't you care? Don't you care? I'm going through this and I'm going through that." That's the wrong question. The question is not whether God cares or not. That's already settled in Jesus Christ by the cross of Calvary and His resurrection. Of course He loves us. Of course He cares. The real question is not whether God loves us. The real question is, why are you so afraid? Why do you still have no faith? The real problem was what the storm unveiled inside of the disciples. There were two potentially fatal problems here. It was the presence of fear and the absence of faith. That was the real problem. Not the winds and the waves. The presence of fear and the absence of faith. And those two things are strongly linked. If there is an absence of faith, fear will flourish and fester. And fear, if it's left unchecked and unchallenged, will produce panic. And panic makes our imagination go wild and we expect the worst possible things in our life, and faith just evaporates the way. And I want to encourage you today, don't blame the storm for the fear in your life. Jesus said, where is your faith? Fear is the absence of faith, in the same way that darkness is the absence of light. And the antidote and the answer is the opposite, that faith in God suppresses and silences fear. See, these guys should have recalled that Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. They should have relied on the fact that he was there with them. His presence was with them in the boat. They should have remembered the miracles that they had already seen. They had no reason to fear whatsoever, but they did. And the storm unveiled the true state of their spiritual life. And sometimes we can be exactly the same as the disciples, and we get anxious and fearful and faithless without realizing we too, we have his word. We too, we have his presence. We too have got salvation history of all the great things that God has revealed inside of his word. We too are never alone. We too have got one another. We too have got this wonderful, vibrant church. And what we need to do is say, Lord, I put my faith in you. I lift my voice to you today. And I say that you are good. And I believe what you have said. And I can say with confidence today, Lord, I'm going over. And I'm not going to go under, because Lord, you are with me. So Jesus said, where is your faith? And by asking these questions, Jesus was seeking to get these men to recognize their responsibility in the middle of the emergency, and that is to put their faith in Jesus right at that point, to trust his word, to trust his presence, to exercise their faith, to really depend upon him. And friends, the schoolroom of this is everyday experiences. It's not just in church on Sunday, but it's in the things that we encounter every day. Last point, number six. Sixth thing I see in this passage about how we can know we're going to go over and we're not going under is this, because Jesus will use the storm to reveal more of himself. Jesus will use the storm to reveal more of himself. If you're saying today, oh Jesus, I want to know you more. Oh Jesus, I want a greater revelation of you. Oh Jesus, I want a deeper experience for you. Get ready for thunder. Get ready for lightning. The storms are on their way, because Jesus will use storms to reveal more of himself. I wish that you could just come to the altar and have hands laid upon you until you go bald, and you can have great experiences with God, and sometimes that can happen. But what I've learned is often I experience Jesus in the middle of what I'm going through in my life, and you see more and more of him than you ever would standing at an altar call here. And I'm all for altar calls. I love them. I believe in them. But Jesus uses storms to reveal more of himself. Verse number 41 says, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. They were astonished. They were terrified. They were dumbfounded. And they asked the question, whoa, who is this? Whoa wasn't there in the Bible. I added that. But whoa, who is this? And the subduing of the sea and the wind was not merely a demonstration of power. It was an epiphany. When Jesus unveiled, when he revealed to them who he really was, that it was no longer just a cerebral understanding of who Jesus was. They saw the reality of him. He revealed that he was the Lord over nature. He revealed himself as the God of the universe. And some things that you go through have a greater spiritual significance than we realize, because in the middle of whatever you are going through, Jesus wants to show you who he is. I was speaking to an old lady in the nation of Wales in Britain one day, and she was saying to me that when she was newly married, her husband was horrible to her. He used to be violent. He was abusive to her. And one day she was kneeling beside her bed and crying out to God, oh, my husband. And the Lord spoke to her and said, I am your husband. In other words, you may be going through this in an earthly sense, but I'm your husband. I will look after you. And she went on from that point to have a really long life and a wonderful life. And even though there was difficult circumstances, a storm in her home most days, there was another husband who was there, who never betrayed her, who never hurt her, who never let her down. And she experienced Jesus in the middle of that turmoil in a way that she would never have through any other circumstance whatsoever. And Jesus is using things that you are going through to reveal and unveil more of his work inside of our life. But I also pray today that we should never lose that sense of what the disciples had when they said, "Who is this?" You know, who is this? We always need to retain a sense of holy awe about him. Yes, we know him. Yes, he lives inside of us. Yes, we have his word. But we will never be able to comprehend him in all of his fullness this side of eternity. And we need to always keep saying, "Oh God, who are you? I want to know you more." To have that pursuit, as the pastor was speaking about today, that hunger for more of him, that we would know him. Who is this? And I love how Paul describes Jesus in Colossians chapter 1. Listen to how he describes him. "He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. He is the creator of all things. All things were created by him and for him. In him all things are held together by the word of his power. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. He is the one who has reconciled the world to himself." And sometimes we need to say, "Who is this? Who is this?" And in the middle of your storm, Jesus can reveal things to you that you would know through no other way than by going through what you were going through. Who is this? Well, he is the one who is with you right now in your boat. Who is this? He's the one who is there with you, who is saying to you, "You are going to get to the other side." Who is this? He is the risen Savior who has conquered sin and death. Who is this? He is the ascended King who has authority in every dimension, over every realm, over every life that is here today. Who is he? He is the Lord of glory who is with you right now. And I want to say to you today, you are not going to go under. You will go over, because to show you more of himself. So even if the battery runs flat, you can say, "I'm going to go over. I'm going to finish this message because the Lord is with me." Summary and conclusion. This is what I want to say to you, Harvest House International, and I pray that this will be a theme for you at the start of the year 2013 in the name of Jesus. Pastor, you are going to go over and you are not going to go under. That you will see breakthrough. That as we said last night, the power of God that is for you to fulfill your vision is greater than all the power of the enemy that is against you. And that you will go over in Jesus' name. I want to say to everyone who is here today, you will get through. You will get to the other side. You will come out safe. You will come out stronger. You will come through with a more resilient faith and a greater knowledge of Jesus than you have ever known before. How do we know that? And I want you to hear me. Because Jesus knows where he's taking you. "Come on," he's saying, "it's time to go to the other side." And when he got to the other side, there was the demoniac there. And Jesus set that man free. And God wants to take you to new levels of spiritual breakthrough on the other side. He knows where he's taking you. He's with you on the journey. You are never alone. You are never alone. Like that Indian boy, all by himself, he felt vulnerable. But there was a father who was watching over him. There's a God who is watching over you today. How do you know you won't go under? Number three, because Jesus is not afraid of anything. He's not sitting, and I say this with respect, Jesus is not sitting on the throne. "Oh, I didn't know that was going to happen." He's the Lord of all. He's the Lord of glory. He does not shake. His eye doesn't twitch. He is a God who is there for you. He's not afraid of anything. Number four, why do we know we're going to go over? Because he can still any storm. One word from Jesus, your life could totally change. One word from Jesus, and you get a promotion. One word from Jesus, things can change. But see, the real issue is not your storm. So we come to point five. The issue is not your storm. The issue is what the storm unveils
in us. I know you're going to make it. Why? Because Jesus is not finished with you. As we said last night, you're not what you were, but you're not what you will be. And the reason that you change is when Jesus begins to do surgery on your soul. And he does it in the most obscure places, like in the middle of a storm. Jesus is working on the weak parts of your life. And number six, how do we know we're not going to go under? Because Jesus is using that very storm to say, this is who I am. This is what I can do. I want you to see me. I want you to know me. And I tell you, when you begin to sing at the end of the storm, oh, it comes right from the core of your life. And you sing with all of your heart. You're going to get over. You're going to get over. You're going to see the breakthrough. Suddenly, you're going to see the things you've longed for. Years ago, Pastor shared his vision last night, how he saw this vision of from Africa. There's all these graves, and God brought him. I was going to take him to another nation, and how that he saw a church that was a soul-winning church, but a church that was that saw miracles and signs and wonders. And I want to affirm that today. I absolutely believe that's the DNA of this house. I said last night, I want to say again, I preach in 30 to 40 churches a year just by virtue of what I do. And I have never been to a church where they have a sense of the presence of God like you have. I've been to conferences where they have, but not a local church that has what you have in worship. And manifest presence leads to manifest power. And you will see the power of God in this place. You're going to go over. You're not going to go under. You're going to see the things that God has said. I believe that. Danby, could you come and could you lead us in that song we were singing before about the fullness of the Spirit's presence? And yeah, musicians and singers come. Because we're going to take some time to worship. And then we're going to pray for you, for God just to do something inside of your heart. Let's all stand together, please. You're in the boat, and you're sailing, and no matter what you're going through, Jesus is there. Let's sing this song from our heart. Let's sing this song.